Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay, thank God. It's really the last day I think you can say that.
According to Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, apparently this is the last day you can wish someone Happy New Year. So Happy New Year, everybody.
I love Larry David.
It's been a weird week in football, which is the sport that's dominating the culture right now. But we had a disappointing weekend. We were looking forward to our hometown Tampa Bay Buccaneers clinching the NFC South against the Saints, and unfortunately they fell flat.
Yikes! Yeah, flat on their butts. Honestly,
yeah. It was pretty brutal to come out and just lay an egg like that. They gave it a fight in the last few minutes, and there was a Trey Palmer fumble that kind of sealed the deal
really
for the Bucs.
Poor guy.
But we were buoyed, though, by some great performances in the National Championship semifinals. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines and the Washington Huskies, who are moving on to the final. So we are here. We are TNT, the Dynamite Sports Podcast. My sons, Tyler, Noah, and Trey are TNT. They are Dynamite. And I'm your host, Dad. And we're going to take you through the week in sports and give you some of our reactions and some of our takes. So it is going to be a weird week coming up in the NFL. It's not exactly the traditional ending of a season. A lot of teams are resting starters as we go into the final week and getting ready for the playoffs. So as we talk about resting starters, we're going to kick it off with Noah's number of the week, and he's going to talk about a starter who will be resting.
Yeah, so our big starter that will be resting is Russell Wilson. If you didn't know, Russell Wilson was a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He was actually ranked 9, but he ended up with 3,000 yards, and he would have ended up with around 3,500 yards. He will end the year with 26 touchdowns. He could have ended up with 30.
Based on projections.
Yeah, okay. Based off his average, he would have ended up with 30 touchdowns and 3,500 yards. But yeah, Russ would have had a great year if it wasn't for the weird coaching that Sean Payton dials up. They were still set for a playoff run. They could have done that if they kept Russ in.
They could still do that this weekend, technically.
Mm-hmm.
They are still vying for one of those last AFC spots.
Yeah, but they've kind of mailed it in by benching Russ. It looks like that they're going to pay a hefty penalty. He wasn't necessarily Sean Payton's guy. Sean inherited him. They gave up a lot to acquire him. And based on what I've read, the next 2 years, they're going to be paying $30 to $40 million each year to have him still on their cap, even if they let him go.
Who does the Sean Payton guy think he is? All of a sudden, he's a quarterback whisperer. Yeah, you had Drew Brees for like 13 years in New Orleans. Like, there was nobody else in that division.
Who were you whispering to besides Drew Brees?
And Jarrett Stidham. Like, what are we doing? Couldn't even make Jameis Winston good.
Well, and now he's let go of...
Fraud. He's a fraud.
And now he's letting go of Russell Wilson, apparently, right?
Yep. So that brings up the topic of where will Russ go? What I found as his best fit is Atlanta. And Atlanta has three big guys named Bijan, Kyle Pitts, and, of course, Drake London, who I think could really accommodate to him. And it's the same type of offense that he has, where it's a run first and then start that play action.
Appeals to his rollout abilities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he has a similar guy to Marshawn Lynch, so I think he could really excel in that offense.
See, the problem with that offense is that the coaching is terrible.
I mean, not necessarily the coaching. The play calling is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to the 2016.
We're talking
Warriors.
About Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, yeah.
You have like three of the most elite players in the NFL, probably.
I saw somebody online compare it to the 2016 Warriors running their offense through Andrew Bogut.
Yeah.
so you have three of the most talented players in the NFL, probably, and you're doing a jet sweep to Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, every time I look up, Jonnu Smith has another jet sweep.
It's so sad.
I had Drake London on my fantasy football team as a starting wide receiver. He averaged 10 points. He started for the Falcons, and he averaged 10 fantasy points.
So Noah's projecting Russell Wilson to the Falcons. Another landing spot that's been discussed is possibly here in Tampa, succeeding a Baker Mayfield who might be asking for too much money.
And they're also expecting him that he'll be willing to take a pay cut, given that he'll still be getting $30 or $40 million from Denver, getting paid to not play there. He has the Dave Canales connection, the play caller down here in Tampa. And I think that wherever he goes, it's contingent on who the coach is. He clearly has not gotten along with Sean Payton. He had a bit of a falling out with Pete Carroll, if I remember correctly, in Seattle. And I think that if he's going to come down to Tampa, he has to know that Todd Bowles is not coming back. Todd Bowles does not have it. He went like he was sub 500 in, with the New York Jets when he was the head coach. They did have great defenses, and they have a great run defense here in Tampa. It's top 10. It's been top 10 probably the last 4 or 5 years. But the pass defense has been atrocious this year. They are last in the league in yards given up per game. They're last in the league in passing yards given up per game. And I think it is absurd to think that we brought him back after going 8-9 with Tom Brady as his starting quarterback. You can blame that on Byron Leftwich, but the offense has not significantly improved under Dave Canales or Baker Mayfield. And I don't think that it would be fair to Bucs fans to bring him back. I don't know what motivated Jason Light and the Glazer family to bring him back this year, but he cannot come back next year.
Let's also put into context that that same season, the 8-9 season with Tom Brady, they also had Leonard Fournette. And
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Rob Gronkowski. Julio Jones was on that roster. I mean, it's just the disappointment all around so far in the Bulls era. I think the other potential landing spot for Russell Wilson is Tennessee. He was linked there a lot coming out of Seattle. And I think that that's another team that would fit his run first and roll out capability sort of offense with Derrick Henry, who is aging but isn't really showing many signs of slowing down yet, and Tyjae Spears, who has been an absolute gem for them so far, the lightning to Derrick Henry's thunder. They keep in mind they also have DeAndre Hopkins now. That's another weapon that he may enjoy playing with. And Mike Vrabel has been a very steady Belichick-style coach, and I think that Russell Wilson would benefit from playing for the Titans.
Yeah. All right. So starting in place of Russell Wilson this week is Jared Stidham, and we've got some top 10 list here from Trey. Hi. Trey is calling it his quarterback Linsanity run top 10 list. So I kind of have to define just to make sure everybody understands his Linsanity run is referring to Jeremy Lin and the Linsanity phenomenon. We recently watched the Jeremy Lin documentary on HBO. And Jeremy Lin, of course, captured the cultural zeitgeist for about 15 minutes, where he was a real stud of a player. And
it was a nice 2 weeks when I was like 8.
I mean, he kind of took down Kobe.
And so Trey has reviewed some quarterbacks who have had Jeremy Lin-like runs. So these are quarterback Linsanity runs, Trey's top 10.
All right, number 10 is Case Keenum. Okay. Yeah, with that little stint with the Vikings where he led them to the NFC Championship.
And then they lost to Nick Foles, who I have a feeling will be showing up on this list somewhere.
Number 9, Jacoby Brissett.
Pretty good Linsanity run over there when Garoppolo got hurt after Brady's Deflategate.
But also some pretty good runs with the Colts and with the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor at number 8.
Yeah.
Would have been the Chargers starting quarterback if he didn't puncture his lung.
I feel pretty bad for that guy.
Let's not say he punctured his lung. Let's say he got his lung punctured.
Yeah, the guy's had terrible luck. And, you know, I mean, he's having kind of another moment now.
He was good for the Bills. He moved on to the Browns, I believe, and then he moved to the Chargers, where he was supposed to be the starter. And then Justin Herbert came in once he had his lung punctured on the sideline while receiving a painkiller.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that doctor, we wouldn't have Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and he took over for DeVito the other day, and
he looked serviceable.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
The third Browns quarterback in a row, DTR.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, for those of you listening at home who do not know who DTR is, that would include me.
Yeah, he was pretty good in the preseason.
Is that all we have to say about him?
Yeah. Number 6, Bailey Zappe.
All right.
The Western Kentucky graduate.
And leader in passing touchdowns.
In a single season in passing yards.
one of two Western Kentucky players I can name.
Crazy.
Other one is Cooper Kupp, if you didn't know.
I did not know.
Number five, Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets.
I think his Linsanity moment just ended.
Yeah. I think it's a little late.
Well, exactly.
That's the point of Linsanity, though. It has to end at some point.
Yeah. Number four, Joshua Dobbs.
The Pastronaut.
Yes.
Cool. Oh, what a great start to the season for that guy. He carried two franchises.
I wish I put him on my coolest nicknames list.
And then now this summer he gets to go work at NASA again.
He's going to go to space.
Number three, Nick Foles.
Big.
Ah!
Nick.
He caught his Linsanity moment at the right time, going right into the playoffs and carried it right through to a Super Bowl.
MVP, Philly special. He's got a statue. That's how good his Linsanity. We might as well call it Nick Foles run.
Number two, Gardner Minshew. Minshew Mania.
Is he on Linsanity run number two with the Colts this year?
I think he might be. He might be carried right into the playoffs.
Minshew Mania.
Trey taking another Philadelphia team on his Eagles back. Quarterback.
Oh, yeah, back to back. For number one, I feel like magical. Ryan Fitzmagic.
Oh, the Fitzmagic run. I dressed up as that guy for Halloween.
Oh, Fitzmagic.
Okay, you're going to get muted if you sing again.
And it was punctuated by the look, too, that press conference.
Oh, man, wearing DeSean Jackson's clothes.
He made DeSean Jackson look like one of the best receivers.
And then Jameis made him look not great.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What a year. They really went back and forth between the two, didn't they? Oh, the dirt cutter era. God.
All right. Jameis would throw two interceptions in the first half. Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator.
They looked so bad. Now Todd Monken is probably going to get a head coaching job out of the way. He's coached the Baltimore Ravens.
Jameis would throw for two interceptions in 200 yards in the first half, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick would come back in the second half and finish the game.
Yeah.
So we are going to segue into our next segment here with Noah in our very weird week, talking about the fantasy football aspect of things. Noah's our fantasy football correspondent, and he's got a segment he calls the Start Sit Six. And this is going to be an interesting week because there's a lot of people sitting out. So Noah, take over.
Actually, before we start the segment, we've got a news alert. Dominican prosecutors accuse Wander Franco of commercial sexual exploitation and money laundering. A judge is to rule by Friday.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
it's so over.
It is.
He's guilty.
Yeah. That's such a shame for our Tampa Bay Rays.
God, $300 million down the toilet.
We'll get a little more to Wander Franco in a little bit. But Noah, let's share your fantasy football opinions.
All right. We need to send this over to Tyler first to talk about quarterbacks. This week we got a lot of quarterbacks sitting. Some notables are Lamar Jackson, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Flacco.
And in their stead this week, a list curated by the one and only Adam Schefter via Instagram, because I don't like Twitter, confirmed Week 18 starting quarterbacks so far. Blaine Gabbert for the Kansas City Chiefs, Jeff Driscoll for the Browns, Carson Wentz for the Rams, Nick Mullins for the Vikings, Trevor Siemian for the Jets, Easton Stick for the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor for the Giants, Sam Howell for the Commanders, Mason Rudolph for the Steelers, Jarrett Stidham for the Broncos, Sam Darnold for the Niners, and Tyler Huntley for the Ravens. Brutal.
Wow, and possibly Kyle Trask for the Buccaneers with an injured Baker Mayfield.
Ugh.
First
don't
up,
even get me started.
We got to start Tajay Spears against the 32nd ranked Jacksonville Jaguars.
As previously mentioned, he's been a gem this year.
Yeah. He, against the Indianapolis Colts, he had 16 carries, and all in the second half, he had 16 carries for 75 yards. That's 4.7 yards per carry. That's pretty insane. Next up, Sit CMC. He is out against the Rams. My favorite, start DJ Moore. I have him in multiple fantasy championships. He is really, really good.
You know what? I'll come out and say it. Justin Fields looks pretty good for the Bears.
Yeah, I think the future is bright in Chicago for sure.
It really is.
The picks they have coming up.
Yep. Next up, sit Travis Kelce. He's just going to play in that first quarter. It's not going to be a lot for him. He's not getting a lot of reps.
Sorry, Swifties.
All right. We're going to go sit Ty Chandler, also playing against the best passing running back defense, the Detroit
Lions.
So the best passing defense when it comes to running backs.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's all that Tad Chandler really is. He's similar to a Jahmyr Gibbs in that most of his work comes from the passing game. Now to my favorite, Mike Evans.
So we got two favorites on this list.
Oh, well, he's actually my favorite, whatever. Start Mike Evans. Start him against Carolina. Here is why. Mike Evans has 6.5 receptions per game.
Against Carolina.
98 yards per game against Carolina. He averages 15 yards per catch against Carolina. Averages a full touchdown per game. And he averages the same amount of fantasy points as Tyreek Hill this season against Carolina.
In his last five games.
In his last five games against Carolina. Which dates back a pretty long while.
But, all the way to the James Winston era.
Mm-hmm, yep. And this includes his worst game, which he had 4 catches for 61 yards. That is his worst game all time against Carolina. And his best game came most recently, where he had 7 catches for 162 yards and a touchdown.
And also of note, last time he went up against the Carolina Panthers, we were at that game. It was pretty rainy. And despite Baker Mayfield's pretty abysmal showing, 14 of 29, Mike Evans still had a career-long touchdown catch for 75 yards. They say the old man's getting slow. He's just tall. His legs just look like they're moving slow. I promise he's fast.
Mike is definitely having a great season and still putting the finishing touches on a Hall of Fame career. So thank you, Noah, for your takes on fantasy football. We're going to move now to some trivia. It's something we do every week. And so Noah's got a trivia question for us coming up here. So Noah, hit us with some trivia.
Can you name all of the players that have never been to a Pro Bowl but have won a Super Bowl MVP?
Are we going around the table?
Yep. Can you start us out, Dad? Guess.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles is a no.
Oh, he didn't win MVP.
He won a Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, he did.
He made a Pro Bowl.
He made a Pro Bowl.
Everybody makes the Pro Bowl nowadays.
All right, Trey.
Did Matt Ryan win Super Bowl MVP or not?
No, no, he lost that Super Bowl.
Oh.
He won MVP and lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, he did win MVP.
Yeah. It wasn't Super Bowl MVP. It was MVP of the season.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Can I have Julian Edelman?
Nope. No, oh, wait. No. Yes, Julian Edelman did. Sorry. He never made a Pro Bowl. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
Wow, he's on the list. Okay, I'm going to go old school. Chuck Howley.
Chuck Howley is a no.
Ugh.
I'm trying to think here. I don't know.
There's one that you can name.
Dexter Jackson?
Dexter Jackson is on there.
Ah, oh, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Dexter first Jackson.
First Buck Super Bowl.
We got a Buck left that Trey can name, and I can guarantee it.
There's another Buck on this list?
Uh-huh.
Well, not playing for the Bucks, though.
Yeah, not playing for the Bucks.
Oh, okay.
We'll go to Dad next.
How about Doug Williams?
Doug Williams is the other Buck.
That's where I was going to go.
All right, Trey, we got a current player on here.
Current player?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
He currently just came off the couch.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
Flacco is
no
on
Pro
here.
Bowls.
From 2012, wow. He won the Super Bowl MVP with the Ravens.
That was a good Super Bowl.
Was a good Super Bowl.
Colin Kaepernick.
Send it to Tyler.
There's more? How many more are we working
We've got five left.
Any more active players?
No.
All right.
You got to go in the Wayback Machine here,
Goodness
Ty.
Gracious. I got to go back to before I was born, probably. Christian Okoye.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time, too. I mean, Otis Anderson?
Nope.
Ooh, that was a good one.
I don't know.
David Meggett.
Nope.
All right, no, you're getting the lamb on us now.
No.
Give us the ones we're missing.
All right. Number one, Jim Plunkett.
Oh.
Number two,
that was a Super Bowl? Are we sure that wasn't an NFL championship?
No. Larry Brown.
Okay, well, all right.
In 2004, Deion Branch.
Oh.
In 2013, Malcolm Smith.
I don't even know that.
I can't recognize a single name.
He picked off
here.
Russ.
No, that was Butler.
That was Malcolm Butler.
Who is Malcolm Smith?
And then finally, in 2008, with the Steelers, Santonio Holmes.
Oh.
No Pro Bowls?
Nope.
Wow. I wouldn't have gotten one.
He had an insane
game. I definitely wouldn't
have
either.
It's hard to get down to guys who don't win Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
It's also hard to remember Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cooper Kupp.
So, Trey, I think you had one more interesting fact about this season and the Wayback Machine.
Oh, yeah, the Wayback Machine. So, let's go back.
The youngest person at the table is going to take us back.
Yeah, so the Browns and the Lions have 10 wins in the same season for the first time in 70 years. That's since 1953.
The Eisenhower administration.
that was when Queen Elizabeth was crowned the queen.
I like
Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Tyler.
Man, so we're talking about like the old days where the Browns had Lou the Toe Groza, Otto Graham, and Marion Motley.
Otto Graham, 10 NFL championship win appearances in 10 years of his career.
Yeah.
Literally every year.
Dude was amazing. I met him once because he went to our church actually for a short time. He retired here in the area. The Lions, that would have been like Bobby Lane days, maybe Alex Karras.
All right, Dad. Thank you for showing us that you're old.
Yeah, well, you know. Karras was on Webster.
I don't think your dad lived in this country at that point.
Oh. Probably not. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. That is definitely crazy.
I also have a statistic. This is a player A versus player B, given that the Pro Bowl rosters were published today. Player A, 0 sacks, 0 interceptions, 5 tackles for loss, 0 fumbles forced, 50 solo tackles, and 0 quarterback hits. Or you can have player B, 5 sacks, 3 interceptions, 5 tackles for loss, 5 fumbles forced, 73 solo tackles, or 7 quarterback hits. Which player are you guys going to take?
I'm going to take player B.
Player B all day.
100% player B.
Okay, thank goodness. First of all, player A, Buda Baker, who made the Pro Bowl as a starter. Blech. And player B is Antoine Winfield Jr., who didn't even make it as a backup. He made it as an alternate. Just disappointing. No Pro Bowl appearance for Lavonte David either. The only Pro Bowl starter from the Bucs is going to be Mike Evans. Pro Bowl alternates included for the Bucs, Vita Vea, Baker Mayfield, and Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs now made a Pro Bowl as a right tackle first in his first season, and now as a left tackle.
So I'm going to give you guys a couple of upcoming free agents, as this is our season for that. Here's some. Chris Jones, Kirk Cousins, the linebacker, Josh Allen, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, Lavonte David, Antoine Winfield, and Brian Burns.
Also, I had no idea that Winfield was going to be a free agent. We got to
lock that up. Yeah. It's going to cost us like $20 million too. It's not going to feel good.
Mm-hmm. No. All right. So as we wrap up the season, we're here at week 18, and as I described at the beginning, this is a really weird week. Not many teams have something to play for. A lot of the seeds are locked up, so a lot of people are sitting their teams. Sitting their players. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a new format here. We're going to go around the table. Each person is going to give us a lock. And they're going to give us an upset. And then the third option, I'm going to kick over to Tyler so he can describe what this third option is, because this comes from his diabolical mind.
Oh, man. Am I feeling diabolical today or what? So in my hands, I hold a cursed hat that was originally a Rays giveaway at a certain game in which a certain player did not appear. It has the name El Patron on the inside of the cap. It has the number 5, and it's bright yellow. It's actually a really cool hat, unfortunately.
Shout out to the Rays for a great giveaway. Unfortunately,
God, they're so good at that.
Just not something I want to keep, really.
This player actually had 2 giveaways that I have now, and I probably will not be able to get rid of. We mentioned him earlier in the show. Wander Franco, the day that this was a giveaway, it was actually the day that he did not appear in the game for unforeseen circumstances. We had no idea for several hours what was going on. Turns out that he has been arrested in the Dominican Republic on sexual exploitation charges. And as I mentioned, he will stand trial on Friday where a judge will decide. I guess he doesn't get a jury because it's the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic, yeah. They do what they want.
He basically has disappeared off the face of the earth. They couldn't find him earlier this week. So really a great situation.
This is a really ugly, so this hat disgusting is hat. Yeah,
It's right. Yellow and purple. It's kind of got like a yellow to purple fade on the front. It's really awesome looking, except it's cursed. So what's in here? I've got some random hockey and NBA teams that you're going to have to pick from. So I guess we'll have to pull up those betting lines to help us decide. We are not pro gamblers. We are not providing gambling advice. I am simply using those as a device for picking a favorite.
So let's start with Trey. Again, we're going to give a lock, an upset, and then we're going to draw something.
Pull from the cursed hat.
From the cursed hat. Okay, Trey, so what is your lock?
My lock is, I hate to say it, the Cowboys over the Commanders.
All right.
I don't like the Cowboys. We are an anti-Cowboy family.
As every good American family should be.
Except that the Cowboys are America's team, quote-unquote.
Allegedly.
This is, quote-unquote, their year. As they are one of the teams last year and the year before that.
But they are one of the teams that has something to play for. They're trying to play for the NFC East title and the number 3 seed.
And they're also playing the 4-12 Commanders.
Fair enough. The Cowboys are 13-point favorites. Pretty steady line there. I expect that it'll be pretty much the same across most sportsbook. This one is via DraftKings.
And my upset is the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are 3-point underdogs against the Buffalo Bills.
They are both fighting for a NFC East, or AFC East, my bad.
Championship.
Yeah.
And the number 2 seed, I think, is on the line there.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're going to rummage it. We're going to stick it next to the microphone. Make some nice ASMR.
Heck yeah.
What do you got, Trey?
I have pulled the Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
You know, about 5 years ago, that would have been a death sentence. But, I mean, they've been pretty good for the last couple years.
So they are favored over the Orlando Magic. Both teams have 19 wins coming into this game. They are at home, favored by 4.
I like that.
You're going to hold on to that?
I'm going
to
hold on to
All
it.
Right, All right, he's going to hold on to it.
All right, very good. So now we're up to Tyler. Tyler, who you got for your lock and your
unfortunately,
upset?
It seems like it's going to seem like I stole Trey's picks, but Trey actually stole his picks from me. Gotcha. I also have the Cowboys and the Dolphins, as previously mentioned. And now I'm going to select. You guys hear that? It sounds really nice, crumpled paper. All right. And I have the LA Lakers. Good night. All right. Well, they're playing the Miami Heat. They are favored tonight at 10 o'clock. ESPN, I'm watching you. You better start moving up these start times. I don't care if the Lakers are on the West Coast. The Miami Heat are on the East Coast. Stop it. I'm actually going to put that back. I don't trust him. It's crazy. I can say I don't trust LeBron.
Or but Anthony Davis.
I mean, I am a Heat fan, so not to be a homer. All right, I have the New York Knicks. I might as well go jump off of a bridge.
And for your information, the Knicks are hosting the Chicago Bulls, and the Knicks are favored by 8.5 at home against the Bulls tonight.
Well, they might be favored, but I don't like them.
I really don't. My first pick, I am going to go with my upset first. Rams are going to upset the Niners.
Bold prediction.
I mean, they're still favored, but they're sitting CMC, they're sitting Brock Purdy, so I'm going to take that.
I mean, neither starting quarterback is going to be playing in that game.
So. Yeah, but they still got Kyron Williams and Puka Nacua, so I think the Rams are going to win that one. And then I'm going to definitely go with the amazing Bucks over the Carolina Panthers, favored at 4.5. Again, Mike Evans is the best receiver that I will ever watch against the Carolina Panthers.
All right, and now Noah gets to draw from the cursed hat.
Let's do some ASMR. And my beautiful pick. Oh, give me a bang, Tyler. Utah Jazz. Bang! They're playing the Detroit Pistons. I got a lock right there. Give me that.
God, I hope the Pistons win. It would be so funny, just for the way that you just celebrated.
All right, and so Dad's up next. I am not stealing my pick from Noah. I, too, believe the Bucks are a lock. The playoffs are on the line.
Even with Kyle Trask.
Yep, even with Kyle Trask, the Panthers are a mess. Their owner's throwing drinks at fans.
Got rid of one Dan Snyder, and here comes another.
True, true. And for my upset, it's a little bit of funny business, but again, with all these sits and people that are not playing, the Chiefs are an underdog, so I'm going to take the Chiefs over the Chargers.
Boo.
Well, I have faith in Blaine Gabbert.
You could have had the Colts.
And I do not have any faith in Easton Stick because he sounds like a minor league second baseman.
He plays for the Samantha Bananas for sure.
He's named after a hockey stick.
And now it's time for my cursed hat draw, and I have drawn the Heat. Tyler wants this from me. I'm not going to give it to him.
Please.
I will take the heat, and I will ride with Tyler Hero and them boys down south. All right. So it's a weird week coming up in football. We're going to be following all of the action, and we will be posting about it. You can follow us on Dynamite Sports Pod on Instagram. You can also follow us on TNT underscore sports underscore pod on X. That's all for this week. We will see you all next week.